everybody. Welcome back to the PSP, the place to be. Yeah, you know me. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by my all-star co-host, Chris Schaefer. He's a great guy, and he's an even better AdWords mentor. Chris, before we introduce our guest, let me just ask you, as I always do, how you doing?
I'm good, because I think that was the friendliest introduction you've ever given me. I'm not wearing nothing about my clothes, my hair, my appearance, or my resemblance to anything animal-like. So thanks, Jason. Now I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. I thought I'd lay off for a couple weeks here. So everybody, I am so excited to introduce our guest today. Back for a second appearance, friend of the show, Walt Conger of Click Control Marketing. Walt, thank you for coming back. How's it going today?
It's going great. Thanks for having me back. I'm going to sum it up in five words. What took you so long?
Well, we knew we were going to bring you back on. You asked me a question, you're going to get an answer. I got an answer for everything. You're kind of our platform specialist, right? And we talked about Google Shopping, and we've had this thing on our list to talk about Bing. But Chris and I just don't care about Bing. So it keeps getting pushed down the list. But you know what? We keep hearing about it, and we wanted to have you back on. So thank you for coming on. And today, we're going to talk about Bing. This is called the Paid Search Podcast because Chris and I talk about paid search marketing, search engine marketing. And 76 episodes in, we pretty much only have talked about Google AdWords. But there's this other thing out there that I don't know how much percent it takes up of the search engine marketing world, but maybe 12%, maybe 15%, something like that. And we never address it. And today we're having you on to talk about it. That's Microsoft's answer to Google AdWords, Bing advertising. So you're kind of our go-to Bing expert. You do a lot more with Bing than Chris and I do. So why don't you talk to us about your background with Bing? How long have you been active on there?
Well, I've been active on Bing, I think, since Bing came out. I don't even remember when that was, to be honest with you. It's been so long. But I love to do new things. And so when Bing came out, I was one of the first in to test it, just like I did for Google back in 99. And I've been a proponent of it ever since and seen good results with it. So I'm glad that you guys are open to talking about it.
I'll take the next question here. You've been in the Bing arena for a while. I remember whenever it came out and there was a lot of hype about it. There was commercials and there was, a lot of advertising, for the new Bing search engine and everything. Tell me, how do you find yourself using the system now after many years have passed? And of course, the hype has died down. Is it still hype worthy? How do you feel overall about the use of Bing compared to other networks?
Well, I'm sure Bing won't be happy to hear this, but I still think of them as a great complement to Google. If you're willing to spend money in Google, I would definitely always recommend you trying out Bing. And we're going to get into some more of those reasons why. But that's the best way I could put it is I think you should always allocate some budget to Bing. I don't think it's met its hype when it came out, but I still think it's a great platform to be on.
Now, Walt, I'm just curious. Like, I wasn't in the PPC world when it did come out. So how intense was it? Like, were people talking about like, hey, this is going to bring Google down? Were they saying it's going to be a nice compliment? Like, was Google really worried? Did people really think Microsoft was going to kind of do what they do to people and kind of copy a platform and take a lot of market share? What was the hype like?
I've heard both sides of it. There were some people that were pretty nervous about it. But overall, in the industry, I would say people were not really that nervous. In fact, they were a little excited. All you had was Google. And I think everybody was looking forward to trying something new. And so I think they were anxious to give it a try. To be honest, that's what I saw. I was excited to try it. I was excited for a new platform because to me, it was all about the results and what can I do for my customers to bring them more revenue.
Right. Now, we always talk about AdWords and Bing together. One of my questions for you, someone who uses it a lot more than I do, just how close is it to Google AdWords? Like, is it basically a clone? Is it basically the same thing? And in terms of traffic quality, is it the same kind of quality traffic because people are typing in keywords and you're getting ads in front of those keywords that you choose?
The way that I usually describe it to people is they tried really hard to be user-friendly like Google, but they did everything they could not to appear that they copied them. So in the process, the best way I describe it is it's a hot mess. It's slow. It's difficult. So there's a lot of possibility for results there. I'm seeing good results there. But you can never compare it directly to Google. It really is its own separate entity, and you have to treat it that way.
You know, the way you describe that is a perfect description for someone who uses it lightly. To me, it kind of matches what I'm seeing, because the traffic quality is there. Like, the potential is there. And it looks almost the same as AdWords, like the same exact layout, basically same structure. But when I'm using it, I'm like, why does this just not feel as intuitive? Why do they have this little quirk where it would be so much easier just to have a pure copy of Google? And it's kind of like what you're saying. They copied it, but then they made some changes, and those changes almost seem arbitrary. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you making things a little more difficult? So it's interesting to hear that you share that perspective.
Yeah.
So, well, here's my thoughts on Bing. I mean, this is usually what I tell any of my clients I work with. They have $1,000 to spend. Very few of my clients have trouble spending all of that $1,000, right? Or $2,000 or $3,000 or whatever. You know, there's usually somewhere to grow that would be worth investing their money in AdWords. So usually, you know, unless these clients have an excess of funds that they just can't find a place for, which is usually not the case, you know, I'd tell them just stay in AdWords, because there's always more area to grow. And that's where we put all of our money, and that's where we put our time and investment, and we make it the best that we can in that one network. So my question to you is it a good idea? What's the benefit of diversifying? Let's say an instance one where the client only has $1,000 and they only get, let's say, 60% search impression share, so that, you know, that $1,000 doesn't even cover what they want to do. Why would you tell someone to go to Bing?
Less competition, lower cost per clicks. Those are a couple of the main reasons. I usually tell, just to keep the numbers easy, if they have $1,000 to spend, I'd like to see $100 to start in Bing. And what I usually find is that they end up wanting to spend more in Bing, and they'll come up with the budget because the results are there. Since the traffic quality that I've noticed in Bing is better, simply because there's less competition. So your ads usually appear higher in the research results for a lot less cost. The cost per lead or the return on ad spend is typically better. But conversions, I would say, are almost 80-20. 80% more conversions in Google than Bing, but that 20% is typically at a much lower return on ad spend. And it's just simply the traffic is so less. People love seeing their ads up top, right, all the time. And on Bing, you can usually get that.
You know, Walt, it's interesting you mentioned that, because this is one of those theories I hear thrown out there in the pay-per-click world, that clients came to me and I was kind of in the same boat. I was just doing Google AdWords and they kept telling me, hey, we need to spend a little money on Bing, because we're going to get a lower cost per click because it's less competitive. And now you can't say that about every single industry or whatever. Things are always going to depend. But overall, they were telling me you're going to get a lower cost per click. And so I tried running a little bit of Bing with them, and we really did see lower cost per clicks. Like, talking moving business, maybe $12 to $18, sometimes $20 on Google AdWords cost per click. Bing, we were getting like $8 to $12 a lot of times. And it's just, it's lower volume, but it is lower cost per click. So it's really interesting to see you kind of verify that theory out. Now, let me throw another theory at you in terms of conversions and traffic quality that I've heard about Bing. Chris is old. He's an outlier. He's an old person who uses Apple products. But most older people, they use Microsoft. They use desktop, PC. I'm not going to pay $2,000 for a computer. Like, you hear that all the time. So Bing is obviously the default search engine on Microsoft Windows. Do you find anything about like the age of the traffic, like the people using it? They're older, maybe more serious overall. And so when they do a search, they're maybe not a millennial who's judging an ad just because it's an ad and they don't really know the difference. Do you see any kind of like age differences on Bing?
Absolutely. The rumor is true.
Another theory that's validated.
Absolutely. And it's different. I can't really give you averages because it does vary a lot, but overall.
Chris, you still here?
I'm still here.
Hey, we're doing this live. You know, live stuff happens. Walt has frozen up, speaking of old people, and we're going to thaw him out here in a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Walt, you're back.
He's back. He's back. There he is.
You've been resuscitated.
Did I lose you?
Yeah. You got froze up, and I made a mean joke. But we're back. So, Walt, so we're talking about the age, and you basically had just started off saying that the theory that older people on Bing, maybe it's easier to get conversions on Bing, is there. So why don't you speak to that?
Yeah, the age is definitely older. I find it to be 50 and older on average, and they're usually a higher income bracket. That's really what I'm finding across the board is an older audience with a higher income bracket. So the rumors are true.
So if you're selling like fidget spinners, maybe Bing isn't the best place to start. But if you work with a local like bathroom remodel to help older people in their bathroom so they don't slip company, they may want to go heavy on Bing because there's an older audience there just by default.
Really good results on contractor-based customers like roofing, bathroom remodel, counter or kitchen remodeling, those sort of things.
So you get those older homeowners who are kind of like 30 years into their kind of home for life, and it's time to do some remodels.
Exactly.
Interesting.
All right. So here's my question. I'm able to get, you know, it is set aside the cost per click. Okay. So we've talked about how cost per click is cheaper on Bing. Fine. What I'm curious about is, you know, what kind of percentage of volume might be different between AdWords and Bing? So let's say that, you know, there's 100,000 searches for widget A on AdWords or on Google. What type of percentage might we see for that same type of search on Bing? Is 50% less? Is it 10% of Google? What do we think?
These numbers are hot off the press. Probably a couple months ago, I saw the latest numbers, and it's really close to 80% Google, and 20% is split up amongst Bing, Yahoo, Yelp, Amazon. They don't tell you exactly like this percentage is just Bing, this percentage is that, but you have 80% Google, 20% split amongst the rest. And so that's
split between all of those. So, I mean, but you run campaigns on there. So, I mean, assuming, you know, if you were to equalize the cost per click and normalize the difference between everything, you don't think you could figure, you know, for every one click I get on Google, you know, I get a tenth of a click on Bing, or the other way around. If I get 100 clicks on Google, I might get one click on Bing.
Not always.
No, just depends, I guess. Too relative to really define one way.
So it just depends, but you like having a 10% threshold in terms of budget. Like if you're doing 1,000 on AdWords, do 100 on Bing to get started.
Yes, that's what I recommend to my customers.
And I always describe you, and I've said this to you, you're very platform agnostic. You use a lot of platforms for your clients, and you'll go with whatever's working. So are you pretty flexible with your budgets? Like if Bing is working better, you'll move budget to Bing and grow from 10%?
I will absolutely recommend that, yes.
Interesting, yeah. Now, we've talked up Bing, like a lot of benefits that we've just gone through, but it's not all good stuff. So Google has Google Shopping. Does Bing have an e-commerce answer to that?
They do. Bing actually has a merchant center and a shopping campaign, just like Google does. And just like everything else, it is twice as hard to get going and manage, but it is there. And it actually, just recently, one of my biggest clients, I started a new shopping campaign and the results were almost immediately. And I almost saw the exact same type of data that we've been talking about, where the cost per click has been much lower. The traffic is lower, but the cost per lead on shopping has just been minuscule.
Wow. So, yes. How long has that e-commerce platform been around? Just ballpark. Ooh. Are we talking like 1 year or like?
No, it's been around a long. Okay. It's been around a long time. Yeah.
I have not heard much about that, but that's very interesting to hear.
The frustration is that why can't I get more traffic from there? Why can't I spend more money on shopping? I've got $1,000 I'll spend today if you can get me those types of cost per leads, and it's just not available.
Right.
All right. So, Walt, I am, as Jason said, one of those old people that has Apple products. And recently, my wife changed over to the Google Pixel 2, which just came out. Oh. But both of these phones, when I open it up and do a search, use Google immediately, right? That's the default engine for the Google Pixel. And as far as I know, I mean, it's the default system for, you know, any Android system that's going to go out on the market. Yeah. I mean, so across the board, I mean, all these major mobile suppliers are using Google. How in the heck does Bing get any type of percentage? I know that you can break out by device type, mm-hmm. you must be seeing a fraction of the mobile searches compared to desktop.
I knew you were going to ask this question. So I did some research, probably a half a dozen clients, and almost consistently, it came to 91.9. 91% traffic was on Google and 9% on Bing.
Okay.
In terms of mobile.
In terms of mobile.
Yeah. Wow.
So the 90-10 is awfully accurate that the rumor's out there.
Okay.
And that's what I've read too. I've read that 90% of like search engine searches happen on Google. Mm-hmm. And we always hear about like, okay, Google's like only, and I don't even believe this number, but we read it all the time. Google's only like 68, 72% of searches overall. But then we hear that they're 90%+ on mobile. And that doesn't mean Bing is even 10%. That means Bing, Yahoo get a chunk and there's some other ones. Yeah. So basically the point is that mobile is pretty much not non-existent on Bing, but it's like a very, very small factor. That matters if you're like a mover or a lawyer and you do a lot of B2C and people are on their phones looking for someone nearby.
But I would recommend that you max that 9% out. Make sure you're spending everything you can to get that 9% because, again, the cost per leads are always lower.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Let's talk conversion tracking with Bing. With Google AdWords, we all know the three ways you can track a lead in terms of lead tracking. Calls from ads, calls from the call extension. So people click on the little phone right from the ad, fill out a lead form on the website, or Google's introduced recently in the last couple of years, website call conversions. You put one little piece of code on the website, it'll change the number into a forwarding number when someone comes from AdWords, and you can track when people manually dial the call. What does Bing have to offer in terms of conversion tracking for leads?
Zero.
Wow.
They have not yet caught up with a website call conversion tracking. With that, I usually stick with CallRail.
Do they have like lead form tracking?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They have all the call extensions. Extensions.
So they have website lead form, they have call extensions, but when all that traffic, and Bing is mostly desktop, we just talked about this, all that desktop traffic goes to a client site, people pick up the phone number, we as advertisers want mm-hmm. credit for those calls mm-hmm. that are coming in. You're saying Bing does not have that kind of website call tracking feature as of now?
Correct. As of now, they do not. Yep.
That's a big deal.
But like you said, Jason, that's third party. I use third party. I have clients that don't like to use mysterious Google mm-hmm. forwarding numbers that they have no control over. So, you know, I mean,
right.
I don't see that that's a big deal because there is a solution to it. You can use a third party to do your mm-hmm. your call tracking on your website because not everybody trusts.
You're such an elitist, Chris. You work with these international mega B2B companies, great enterprises with tons of budget, tons of people who can figure out a third party software, put the code on the site. I work with moving companies, Chris. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's hard to get these third party things.
Cream of the crop moving company.
I'm out there in the trenches. I'm in the trenches, Chris, and not everybody can afford or has the technical know-how to set up the third party tracking. So I love the Google website call feature. And Bing, how hard is it to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like
it's easy.
Why don't they have that? So yeah, that's a complaint that
I'm sure it's completely easy to generate a massive amount of phone numbers across a pool of people, then have them dynamically generate. Yeah, come on, Microsoft, Bing.
Hey Chris, they copy every other thing that Google does. So why not copy one more thing? So Chris, I know this is your question, but I want to ask it because
no, it's my question. It's not fair.
Then I'm going to accuse Walt before you. Walt, you've been very positive about Bing, and we appreciate that point of view because you're just giving us the truth. But something's got to frustrate you. You know what I'm saying? Tell Chris, tell me some
Bing's
downsides
not,
with Bing.
Bing's not listening. No one's listening right now.
No one's listening.
It's just us three in here. What really makes you mad about it?
Well, first of all, I think we've already mentioned it. It is not user-friendly at all. So that is extremely frustrating. Number two, the editor. They do have an editor, like Google AdWords editor, and it's horrible. It's slow. It's clunky. It crashes all the time. That's probably one of my biggest complaints is their editor. And what makes it even worse is I use a Mac, and they just recently, as of not even months ago.
Yeah, within the last 6 months.
They came out with the app for a Mac. And so they haven't even perfected that yet. So it's a nightmare. I find myself almost doing a lot of things manually, and I'm sure you use Editor as much as I do, and Google, it's a big piece.
Well, wait a second. Now, hang on, Jason. This is my show, too. All right. I have a question. Teacher. Okay, so here's what, and tell me why this is not the proper approach, but I assume that you keep your AdWords and your Bing about the same. Why not make the changes in AdWords, which has the AdWords editor, and then just import it? There's an import feature in Bing where you can just push a button, tell it what to do, and it imports those from AdWords. Why not just do it that way? Is it too complicated, or maybe those systems are so different after running them for a few months that you can't just import from one to the other?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. You're smart. Not. It's not that easy.
Oh, yeah, Chris, it's not that easy. You import the locations. I'll have like a 45-mile radius around Oklahoma City, and it will import like one zip code. And I'll be like, Bing, like not everything is a one-for-one.
Initially, you're exactly right. What I always do is build out a structure in Google that I'm very happy with, the customer is happy with, and then I'll take that build and I'll initially build it in or import into Bing. After that, it's really you're on your own with Bing. I've heard a lot of people say every time you make a change in Google, just once a week or once every week, just do a fresh import into Bing. And Jason's already alluded to this, is that the locations are different, zip codes get messed up. And the biggest thing, and you didn't let me finish my other frustrations. I do have a third
frustration.
That's just
what I do on the show. I just cut whoever I see on the screen across from me, I just cut them off.
And this is why you can't import every time, is the search query reports. Google does, for the most part, a pretty good job of filtering out a bunch of the junky clicks, so to speak, in searches to begin with. You still have to go to search query reports. You still add your negative keywords. But there seems to be some sort of a filter there. And the reason I know this is because in Bing, some of the keywords that come through, even on modified broad, is just horrendous. They catch way more garbage than Google does. When I first started with Bing, that's what I did. Anytime I added a lot of negative keywords in Google, I just imported it through the import feature in Bing, and it didn't work. It didn't work at all. There was too many misses. And so that's probably another really big frustration, is how much junk ends up in Bing that you have to go through and clean out.
So you're saying, so if you do a good job managing in the AdWords account, all those changes you make may not necessarily help you do a good job or do enough of a good job in Bing. It's like you're saying import features there, but you've got to manage it like it's totally separate thing.
Exactly. The import feature,
good advice.
It's great for the initial build and the initial move over from Google into Bing, but past that, it's its own entity.
Interesting. Now, Bing has something that is very kind of hard to find out about, but Bing and Yahoo are the same thing. It's all run out of Bing ads. That's how you target Yahoo. It's all through Bing. But by default, they also add your ads to something called the syndication network. And the first week I was on Bing, I called into their support team. A little bit different than the kids up in Michigan, Chris. In Michigan, you got these fresh out of college enthusiastic kids helping Google, and the Bing support team, it sounds like a lot of 51-year-old dudes up in Washington, just like classic tech support, Chris, like, hello, hello. Yeah. And they were happy to bash their own network. And they told me about the syndication network, Walt, and they told me it's like garbage traffic and you've got to turn it off on every campaign you run, but you have to turn it off at the ad group level, which is frustrating if you don't use the editor. So why don't you talk about, like, do you ever run ads on it or do you always turn it off?
I have a different take on this.
Oh, well, that's why we're here, to disagree. Let me know.
I love testing. I don't disregard anything initially. I always start off in the syndication market. Wow. And let the data do the talking. And I would say probably 75, 25, somewhere in there, I end up turning it off.
Okay.
But I do have a handful of clients where a decent amount of conversions come directly from the syndication market. I just can't turn it off.
That's why we love having you on, because I was told different, but your advice is obviously better because you're in there using it every day. Now, the syndication network, is it like when people run Bing search engines on their own website kind of thing? Or other smaller networks that Bing owns kind of deal?
Yes. And most of the time, it is kind of junky traffic, but you don't know that unless you try. And as long as I'm in Bing, I'm monitoring Bing daily for many clients. And so I have the time to check that data, and I'm just big on data. And the data doesn't say by default, turn off syndication. There are some industries where it just doesn't work. And I found that doesn't work across the board on many clients. And then I will initially turn it off. But my advice to whoever's listening is test.
Test it. Okay.
Always the right answer. All right. So, Walt, we're coming to the end of things here. The music's going to start playing soon. Are there any final tips, anything that you'd like to share? Because this is what this podcast is all about, sharing the stuff that nobody talks about, the little details, the tidbits that can just make a world of difference. So anything to share with anyone?
My biggest advice is to always build in Google first and then import into Bing. I know I've mentioned that a few times, but sometimes there are clients who really want to test Bing and they just want you to throw something up in there. But I would definitely advise to build in Bing first and then move over. And again, test. Try to get some dollars. I know it's hard to rip those dollars from your fingers from Google, but I would just recommend get something, even if it's $10 a day, $5 a day, maybe. Give it a try.
That's great advice. And the reason I wanted to talk about Bing today is, I mean, Bing's out there and it matters. And one classic example of how things can just change on a dime is on Apple phones, of course, like the Safari browser is what comes with the phone. Tons and tons of Americans use Apple phones, like a ton of people. And right now, Google pays Apple a ton of money to make Google the default search engine on Safari. But you never know if that could change, and maybe Microsoft could pay Apple. And just like that, on a dime, Bing could become the default search engine on Apple. It's not likely, but these things happen. So it's great to know about Bing. And Walt, you gave us some great tips today and some great insight into Bing. My biggest takeaway was that Bing is great for advertisers to diversify, and it's hard on managers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not easy to run AdWords and Bing is clunky and hard to use, but it is good for the clients, good for the business owner listening out there to be on both platforms. So appreciate you coming on today. Chris and I both know how hard you work. I'm going to say it. I think you have the fastest growing pay-per-click marketing agency in the country. Fastest growing. You got a great agency up there. So why don't you just tell us about Click Control Marketing, what kind of clients you work with, and what kind of platforms you can help them advertise on, and where they can find you.
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity to do that. We deal with all things paid. If there's a platform that offers paid search, we do it. Google, Bing, Amazon, Yahoo, Facebook, Yelp. Yep. Yeah. If anybody's interested in Yelp, they just released a new pay-per-click platform that we're testing out, and it's been pretty interesting. But yeah, all things paid, we do. We love doing it.
Where can people get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me is on my website at clickcontrolmarketing.com.
Okay, you go to his website, everybody, and his personal cell phone number. Just kidding.
No, wait, I wanted that. Oh, okay.
So, Chris, thank you for being here as well. You're a great co-host. Walt, isn't Chris a great guy?
You know what? You both are great guys.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Walt. You can come on anytime. He's read that book too, Jason.
No, I'm going to break from the script here, so to speak. I've been doing this for almost 2 decades. I've dealt with a lot of managers. I've cleaned up a lot of crummy accounts, as you have all as well. And I have seen many, many of your accounts over the years. And I can say you two do it right. You really do things right. So for all the listeners out there, these are two guys you can definitely trust. It's awesome. Awesome talking paid search with you.
Hey, awesome. I can add to that. So, Walt, really appreciate that. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for telling us about Bing. And thank you for being a friend of the show. So, everybody, thanks for listening. If you have any Bing questions, send them to us. We'll ask Walt, and then we'll answer them on the Q&A. So, thanks for listening. We'll be back next Monday, episode number 77 of the Paid Search Podcast.